Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, from Michael Jackson's death to Apple's iPhone making its debut, lots to look back on this week in pop culture history. Rebecca Shackleton, the co-presenter of 98FM's Big Breakfast and an old pal as well, is with me to take a look back. How are you?
I am very well. It's so good to see you.
Thanks very much indeed. Now, I was shocked to read that 30 years ago, The Lion King roared into theatres 30 years!
30 years ago this week, can you believe it? It was Walt Disney's 32nd animated feature and it premiered on June 24th, 1994.
That's shocking.
It
feels like the year before last.
It really does. It's still in theatres everywhere. Like the Broadway shows in the Borgosh last year was unbelievable. And they obviously did the remake in, it was 2019 they did the remake, but nothing compares to the original Lion King.
No matter what they've tried to do. Although the stage performance is amazing. It really is. So let's talk about the film itself. It had an amazing score. Elton John was very heavily involved. In fact, let's have a quick listen to Elton John's Circle of Life. I have to say, that song sends shivers up my spine because I can see myself watching the movie.
So timeless.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Can you believe that I'd never seen The Lion King until 2020?
Really?
Yeah, I'd never seen it in full. Obviously, as a kid, maybe I watched it when I was really young, but oh my gosh, bawling, crying. We all know the scene.
Yeah.
We'd be crying our eyes out.
Can't wait to be king.
I can't wait to be king as well. Yeah, so of course, Elton John did the lyrics, or Elton John wrote the songs and the lyrics were by Tim Rice. Hans Zimmer did the score of The Lion King. And it was a very mature storyline, I suppose, from some of Disney's other films. It won 2 Academy Awards and 1 Golden Globe. And they have done a sequel and there's other spin-offs, but the original is just still so powerful.
Yeah, and you mentioned the remake back in 2019. It featured people like Beyonce, but it just didn't have it. It just didn't have what the original had.
Yeah, there's something so, I suppose, nostalgic about watching The Lion King. It brings you right back to your childhood, but also just the music is so powerful. So what a film. 30 years ago it was released in cinemas this week.
The Lion King. Now, yes. I remember where I was when I found out this next bit of news, and that, of course, was the death of Michael Jackson 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years ago Michael Jackson passed away. He was only 50 when he died, and it was the 25th of June 2009. He had suffered a heart attack, cardiac arrest at his home in LA, and that was caused by a fatal combination of drugs given to him by his personal doctor at the time, Conrad Murray.
Who, of course, served time in prison as a result.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got a 4-year prison sentence and then he was in prison for 2 years before he was freed in October 2013.
The sad part of the death of Jackson at the time was that he was arranging, he had already announced a residency in the O2 in London, which was going to give people the opportunity over a run of 50 shows to actually get to see him.
Yeah, so he passed away. It was only a few weeks before the This Is It tour was set to open, and he survived by his 3 kids. So it's Michael Jr., BB, who was formerly known as Blanket, and Paris. And obviously there is a, I suppose, complicated legacy with Michael Jackson because of the allegations of child sexual abuse. They've continued beyond his death.
It's interesting, though, with Jackson, people seem to, for whatever reason, be able to separate the artist from the person and those allegations and so on, because his music today is still as popular as ever.
He is still as popular as ever. I suppose for me, I just have never really felt the same way, but everyone's entitled to their own, I suppose, opinion with that.
Yeah, because it's interesting. If I was DJing, for example, I have no problem playing a Michael Jackson song and people love it, but I wouldn't play R. Kelly, for example.
Yeah.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, I suppose with it, R. Kelly was convicted of his crimes, whereas Michael never was, so...
Mm. That is the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's come to 1997. This week in 1997, Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear in the third round of their heavyweight rematch. Who will ever forget that?
No, it was one of the most controversial sporting moments of the decade. But it's all water under the bridge now, Adrian.
Yeah, they're best buddies.
They're best pals now, after all that. They posted a picture together. It was only in February of this year. Mike Tyson shared a photo with Holyfield with the caption, "We've come a long way since the bite fight."
And they've also launched a brand.
Yeah, I didn't realise this when I was looking into this. So they launched a line of cannabis-infused edibles called Holy Ears. Holy Ears. Yeah. What?
It's insane.
That was back in 2022, so all water under
right,
the bridge.
Right, but 1997, like you said, it was one of the most controversial sporting moments of the decade. To see one boxer bite another boxer's ear half off was insane.
I've never watched the footage.
Oh, have you not?
No.
Oh, you need to.
I don't think I ever will, Adrian. I don't think I have the stomach for that.
It's insane. Huh. And how they ever got to talking again and making a commercial venture out of the fact.
Yeah,
it's
truly wild. But yeah, one of those moments in sporting history. I'd imagine very much like a death of a huge celebrity like Michael Jackson. I'm sure people remember where they were when that happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also remember where I was when Steve Jobs stood on stage and said, "It's a phone, it's an iPod, and an internet communicator. Are you getting it?"
I love that you quoted it word for word.
That's exactly how he launched the iPhone on June 29th, 2007.
Gosh, the world's never really been the same again, has it?
Because what the iPhone did was literally, and this was obviously their sales pitch, we have reinvented the phone, and they did. Because up until then, all phones had buttons on them and you sent text messages and everything else. This was a screen. And you did everything on the screen.
No keypad.
When we think about it now, it's like, yeah, and? Mm-hmm. But back then, this phone had one button on the front of it and you did the rest on the screen.
Oh, it
and
changed.
It literally reinvented the phone. And it was a major project that they'd been working on for years.
Yeah, they had officially announced it in the January, I think, of that year. And then it launched on June 29th, 2007. It had iPod capabilities. Obviously, at the time, iPods were huge. I remember my pink iPod Nano, loved it so much. So it had iPod, phone, and then you'd be able to go on the internet as well. And no smartphone... I don't think any other smartphone compares to the iPhone. I'm an iPhone girl. Oh, no. I'm not into the Androids.
And me, but it's such a divisive conversation.
I know.
It literally splits families down the middle. Are you iPhone or Android? Myself and all my kids and family are all iPhone.
Oh, my husband has an Android.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And how do you cope? You can't use it.
No, I'll never be looking at his messages anyway, I'm telling you. Can't even work the thing.
There's a man who was 59 years of age who bought the very first iPhone. He's credited as having purchased the very first iPhone.
Yeah, so his name was Greg Packer. He was then 59. He used to work as a highway maintenance worker. He was from Long Island. And he had apparently camped out outside the Apple store on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan for a week to get the first ever iPhone back in 2007.
And it's funny because every year subsequently, it was a thing that you queued up outside the Apple store to get this year's iPhone. Not so much a thing now because you can just pre-order and it'll arrive a couple of days later. But yes, June 2007, the phone was literally reinvented, and everything that we have in our pockets today is on the back of that original iPhone in 2007.
Yeah.
Finally, let's come and talk about music and the songs that were number one in different parts of the world on this day in 2004.
20 years ago, number one in Ireland was a song by Britney Spears that's different to her usual catalogue, I would say. This was Every Time, and it was from her fourth studio album, In the Zone.
Every time I try to fly, I fall without my wings. I feel so small. I guess I need you.
Now, there's a Britney song that means nothing to me.
Stop it.
I'm just looking at your face and the nostalgia. That song means nothing to me.
Emotional.
Of all Britney's songs.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I suppose at that time she was going through a lot. She'd actually brought her Onyx Hotel tour to Dublin, and I remember seeing her. I was in the crowd at the front at the RDS, and she performed that live and she hit that high note. And it's really different to all her other tracks. But Britney can do it all. I'm always rooting for Britney. And that song, the music video was quite controversial as well, I suppose, at the time too. But what a tune, and number one this day 20 years ago.
And that was in the period at the beginning of her troubles, if you like.
Yeah, I think at that time she had either got with or split up from Kevin Federline, and yeah, it was, I suppose, the start of a different chapter for her. But yeah, I'm glad to see Britney doing better now.
Absolutely.
And stronger.
And we wish her well. Now, in the UK, a completely different number one.
Yeah, a band that I always get mixed up with Busted, but Mac Fly were number one with Obviously. 'Cause obviously she's out of my league.
Now, that was their second number one. I love that song now, for example. Great tune. In fact, I haven't heard that in years now.
Neither have I, and I'm thinking now, I'm like, wow, that is a great tune.
Yeah.
McFly, and I remember they did that super group with Busted. Mac Busted saw them at the Three Arena a couple of years ago. Great voices. Do you know? Catchy lyrics. That kind of guitar-y era British bands, there weren't boy bands, but similar, was hugely popular.
But they produced some great tunes.
They really did.
Mind you, if you were a teenager listening to them, you're in your 30s now.
Exactly. I'm like, don't look.
And finally, let's go to the States. And number one in the States, again, a completely different song.
Yeah, completely different tune. Usher with Burn. It was from his Confessions album.
Interesting, actually. It's very interesting. The songs that have longevity, because the song he released before that was Yeah, do, 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 do.
Timeless.
You still play that today.
Yes.
You wouldn't play Burn anywhere today.
I would, Adrian.
Well, you might.
I love Usher so much, and obviously he headlined the Super Bowl halftime show earlier on this year, did an incredible job. He was on roller skates, singing live, and yeah, he's just really stood the test of time. I suppose his music is still so relevant today.
Absolutely. All right. That's been fascinating.
Jeez,
and
lots happened
great
this week.
Reminder of what happened this time in the past. Rebecca, thanks very much indeed for joining us. That is Rebecca Shackleton, co-presenter of 98FM's Big Breakfast.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.